This week we are going to be talking about rest. And rest is one of those things that I think we all would agree we'd like a little bit more of. And we're not often all that great at taking rest either, even when we might finish work for the day. Sometimes it's just a little bit hard to switch off from work, to not check the emails, to not respond to work-related text messages. When it comes to rest, rest is hard work, actually, which is very ironic. But we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 2. That's where we're going to start. And let me just read these first couple of verses here. And this just follows on from the 6 days where God's just been creating everything, the heavens and the earth, and the earth are with full of trees and animals and the sea and fish and birds in the air, all that sort of stuff. God's been creating all those things over those first 6 days. And then we get to the seventh day, and this says that, says this in Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So I was just looking into those verses and those words a little bit and just trying to deconstruct and just look for some deeper meanings in all those, and thought, well, what's the seventh day? Is there something significant about that word seventh? Does it have any kind of underlying meaning? So I looked up the word seventh, and guess what I found? It means seventh. That's about as deep and as profound as that was. But the kind of rest that we're talking about here, the word that is used is Sabbath or Sabbat. And it's where we get the word Sabbath from. The seventh day is a Sabbath. And God actually instituted the Sabbath. He gave us the example of the Sabbath. He's the first person that actually did the Sabbath, having that time of rest. And I just want to talk about this word rest just for a moment, because there's two kinds of rest. There's the physical rest, and then there is the Sabbath rest. Today we're going to be talking about the Sabbath rest, but just for a moment, I want to talk about our physical rest. There's whole books written on rest and how many hours sleep per night we should be getting, how we switch off from work, what is good to do after we've been working. If you have a physical job, your rest may be different from someone who has a desk job. And there's a physical rest that we need that ties in with our sleep, with our food, with our rhythms, with our work routines. That kind of rest that gets associated with our physical rest is not what this message today is about. I'm going to be talking today about this Sabbath rest and this rest that God actually gives us as an example. And he says that when God blessed the seventh day and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So there is something deeper than just a physical rest going on here that God is talking. He blessed that seventh day and he made it holy. And that's the kind of rest that we're going to talk about today. On that seventh day, after all those days of completing, everything was still perfect. Adam and Eve hadn't eaten the fruit from that tree yet. It was Eden. It was paradise where they were. It was amazing where they were. So no wonder God blessed it and made it holy, called it holy. What a day that must have been. Everything was perfect. But then sin came in. Adam and Eve decided to eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which we've talked about before. You've probably read before. And now all of a sudden, God's work, that holiness, is all undone. Humanity came along and we basically wrecked it. What was holy is no longer, was no longer holy. Our holiness, the righteousness that we didn't know sin before Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So before that, Adam and Eve were perfect. They were holy. But once sin came in, all of that changed. And we know that. And we talk about that quite regularly. So I want to talk a little bit more about this word Sabbath. And we have some verses here in Mark, which I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 2. Just getting my way here to Mark chapter 2 and verses 27 and 28. And this is Jesus speaking. Here's what he says. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now just pause there for a moment. Jesus is making a statement here, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this in a moment, but there was certainly a sense where in that day and age, and what Jesus is addressing is that people were having to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath was more important than the person. And so what Jesus is saying here is that the Sabbath was actually made for men. It was made for our benefit. We are not there to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath is there to serve us. The Sabbath is there to do something in our lives. And then Jesus says, and so the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, is the Lord, even of the Sabbath. So Jesus is saying two really important things here. He's saying the Sabbath is for our benefit. The Sabbath is there for us. God put the Sabbath there in place, was made for man, even though God was the first person to do it. He did it for us. He did it as our example, and he instituted rest, Sabbath for us. And then Jesus saying, and by the way, and I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I rule over the Sabbath. So that's really important for us to know and to have our minds around, that the Sabbath is there. Now just think for a moment about this. I had a bit of a think about this. Does God need to rest? Did God really actually need to stop? Was he tired after those 6 days of creating everything? Did he get to the end of those 6 days and go, oh man, I'm a bit tired, a bit weary now. I need to stop and have a rest. I think when we understand that God is all powerful, he's all present, he's all knowing, but getting back to that all powerful, I don't think that he was depleted physically in any way. In fact, I probably ascribe to the idea that if God wanted to create the world in 8 seconds, 6 seconds, 4 seconds, he could have done that too. I don't think the Sabbath was, even though God gave us the example of it and he lived out the example of it, I don't necessarily think it was for his own rest. It was for us. And that's what Jesus is saying. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And the man, the Son of Man, is Lord even of the Sabbath. So that's what Jesus has to say about the Sabbath, that it's for our benefit. Jesus came to restore humanity back to blessing, back to holiness, back to Sabbath, back to rest, back to that seventh day, if you like, back to that Sabbath day when everything was still perfect, before man had sinned, when everything was still perfected and amazing, and we can't even imagine what the Garden of Eden would have looked like, but it was paradise. It was awesome and amazing. Jesus came to restore us back to that, to restore us back to that relationship with God that is no longer disconnected, where we are no longer trapped and having to work through our sinful condition anymore. Jesus came to restore us back to blessing. Remember God said he blessed the seventh day, that we would enter into that blessing, that he called it and made it holy, that we would be made holy as well, back to that Sabbath, that Sabbath, that seventh day of perfection. That's what Jesus came to do. So when he says that I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about coming back to restore us back into that amazing place of rest. Now, I really, another popular, well-used Bible passage where Jesus talks about rest is in Matthew chapter 11. And it says these words. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Just look at those words of invitation there. He says, "Come to me." Jesus is inviting us, come, come to Jesus. He says, "Take my yoke." So there's some things for us to do. There's some things for us to participate in, to enter into this rest, that we would come and take his yoke upon us, and that we would learn from him. For he is gentle and humble in heart, and that we will find rest for our souls. That sounds amazing. Do you need some rest for your soul? There are some days where I certainly need a lot of rest for my soul. Now, Jesus uses a word here called yoke. He uses the word twice. And when we read it in our context, we imagine, don't we, like the oxen, they would have a yoke where you'd have one oxen and connected to another oxen, and this yoke would kind of go across their backs, the back of their necks, and that would actually keep them aligned and keep them moving together and in the same way. And that analogy and that metaphor is certainly applicable here when we understand that Jesus is saying, "Come to me and the yoke, walk alongside me, be in step with me, go where I go." There's certainly that context of what Jesus is talking about, but there's a deeper context here as well. Because in that day, every Jewish rabbi would have what was called a yoke. And what a yoke was it was the rabbi's interpretation and application of the Bible. So each rabbi would be studying the Bible, and for them it was the Torah, it was the first five books of the Bible, and they would study it and they would learn from it, and then they would teach their disciples how to live it out. And every rabbi would have a slightly different interpretation, a slightly different application. And so you have all these rabbis with their disciples, and they would have this yoke, their way of living out God's word, their way of walking out relationship with God. And so when Jesus uses this word, "Come to me, take my yoke," it's not just only about walking in step with Jesus, which is amazing. It's not just going the same direction as Jesus, which is also amazing. But it's what is also being said here is, "Learn my ways," Jesus is saying. "Learn from me." And he says that, "Learn from me." His application of the Bible is perfect. His way of walking out the Bible is perfect. All the other rabbis, they're going to get some things right. They're probably going to get some things wrong, but not Jesus. And which is a cool thought, isn't it? That we get to take on his yoke, his way, that we are his disciples. And I love that picture that we have. He took our burdens. Now, another way maybe to look at that yoke idea, I was just reflecting on this, is with my son's soccer coaches that he's had throughout the years. He's had some great soccer coaches, but they've all been a little bit different. Some have been more encouraging than others. Some have been more directive than others. Some of them have been sometimes more discouraging than others. All these coaches would come with their ideologies and their methods and their ways of being a coach. And some of them were more oppressive, some of them were more burdensome than some of the others as well. And so you get to recognize the good coaches because you see how they put burdens on the players. And are they good things for players to rise up into? Are they oppressive? Are they discouraging? Do players even want to be there? You can often recognize how good a team's doing by that relationship between coach and players. Is it healthy? Is it good? Is it strong? Is it an encouraging situation where, yeah, they may work hard, they may do some good things, put in some big effort and some big energy, but what's that relationship like? What is it? Is it a burdensome yoke or is it a light yoke? Now, back in this day, getting back to the rabbis' yokes and the Pharisees' yokes, the Sabbath was really interesting because they would put more burden on the people, on the Jewish people, to actually live out the Sabbath, which is ironic. So a Sabbath was supposed to be a day of rest. It was a day of reflecting. It was a day of giving thanks to God. It was a day of not working. It was a day of just being able to turn down the dial on the activity and the efforts a little bit and just find a place of rest, not just physically, but also just remembering the goodness of God and the things that God has done, and even going back to remembering how God led the nation of Israel out of the slavery of Egypt and all these things that they would remember on these Sabbath days and some of the things that they would do. But in an effort to make it more holy, the Pharisees and the other rabbis, they would try to add laws, add to their yoke. You need to do this. You can't do that on a Sabbath. There's a lot of things that they came up with. They even accused Jesus of breaking the law on the Sabbath, but they were the laws that the Pharisees had made up, not even the things and the instructions from God's word. One of the ones I find really kind of humorous, but kind of sad at the same time, is that if it was on a Sabbath and you're in your house and you want to, you know, take a chair from one side of the room to the other, and if you happen to drag it across your hard-pressed dirt floor, that was considered a form of plowing, and you weren't allowed to work on a Sabbath. So if you weren't allowed to even just drag your chair in your own home on a Sabbath day, you would break the rules. You would no longer be abiding by the laws of the Sabbath. This is the kind of oppression that, this is one example, there's hundreds of extra laws that the Pharisees and other rabbis added to the Jewish people. When they're trying to be God's people, when they're trying to live out this Sabbath, there's all these extra rules. And you have to think, man, that must have been such just a burden in itself. A Sabbath day would come around and there's all these like 200 extra laws and extra things. Like, are we allowed to do that? Are we not allowed to do that? What can we do? What can't we do? And so what is supposed to be a restful situation is just a tumultuous and turmoil and second-guessing kind of situation. The Sabbath was anything but rest. And so this is why these words of Jesus are so amazing, right? He says, so come to me, all you who are weary and burdened by all these extra laws, by all these extra conditions, by all these extra things that you're not allowed to do anymore. Are you weary and burdened by all of that? Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Sounds amazing. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. He's gentle and he's humble. He's not condemning. He's gentle and he's humble. And he says, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he's come back, and he came back to reconcile humanity, to get back to that seventh day, to get back to that situation that it used to be when God called and he rested on that seventh day and he said, this, I'm blessing this day and this day is holy. That's what Jesus came to bring us back to, that day where he blessed and made holy. Now listen to these words out of Hebrews chapter 10. Just got to turn to it in my Bible here. This is Hebrews 10 verse 10. It says, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, the reason why I wanted to read this is that we have been made holy, not through our works, not through how well we obeyed all those extra laws. No, Jesus made us holy. Says that we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus has made us holy. We didn't make us holy. God has made us holy through the sacrifice of Christ. This is coming back to that seventh day where we are so blessed by God Himself. He is our blessing. Our relationship with God is our blessing. Everything that He gives, it's blessing. Even the things that He doesn't give, it still must be for our benefit for Him not to give us stuff. So that's a blessing. Everything in God is blessing. God Himself is our blessing. And He has made us righteous. He has made us holy. And that's where we find rest. Jesus didn't come to reset the bar of holiness and say, well, let's get back to those Ten Commandments, guys, and let's have another go at it. Jesus came to make us holy. Jesus came to give us this Sabbath rest. The finished work of Jesus. When back in Genesis chapter 2, there's a word that I read, when God had finished. And then Jesus says these words on the cross, it is finished. His work of restoring humanity back to holiness, the work that would actually bring us back into a state of holiness where we have been made holy, that is a restorative work, a redemptive work that takes us back to a Sabbath, to a continual rest. So the Sabbath isn't actually really about a day. A Sabbath really isn't about whether it's a Saturday or a Sunday. The Sabbath is actually all about Jesus. Jesus Himself is our Sabbath. That's why He says, come to me and you'll find rest. Jesus is our Sabbath. In Christ is our rest. He is our rest. He is our Sabbath. And so how do we do that? As I wrap this up now, how do we actually live out this rest? Well, Jesus has already told us. He says, come to me. Draw close to me. How do we do that? We do that through reading His words. We do it through praying. We do it through our thanksgiving to God. We do it through our praising Him and worshiping Him. Come to Him, that we would take His yoke upon us. That we what we read, we would apply. What Jesus says to do, that we would do. That we would see the blessings of Christ through His word as He works in us and works through us to do it. And learn from me, He says, for He's gentle and humble. And when we do all those things, He said, you will find rest for your souls. Amen. Let me pray. Lord God, I thank you for your rest. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you give us rest for our soul. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord of the Sabbath. Lord, you give us Sabbath. You give us rest. It doesn't have to be a particular day of the week, any time of the week, any day of the week. In you, we find our rest where we can lay our burdens down, knowing that you have made us holy, that you have taken our sin once and for all upon yourself, that we have now been made holy, that we now enter into a continual state of spiritual rest, rest for our souls. And Lord, I pray for those people right now that are just physically tired. Lord, I pray you'd give them good rest, physical rest, that as they sleep, they would sleep well, they would sleep deep, they would rest well. And Lord, each day when we get up, that we would remember that you are our rest. When we start to feel the anxiety and stresses and the burdens that come along, that we would just be reminded that when we can come to you, all who are weary and burdened, you give us rest. And I thank you for that rest. We receive that rest right now. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And God bless you. Bye-bye.